Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3. Happy New Year. It is January 1st. We're live doing radio every day of the year except for Christmas. Lisa Newell publishes the Gulf Breeze News, and it comes out every single Thursday. And we always like to talk to her about what's in the paper. And this segment of the Pensacola Morning News is brought to you by Dale's Marine Construction. Live the dock life with Dale's Marine Construction. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Well, Happy New Year. You're going to have your black-eyed peas and greens and all that stuff to make sure you have a very successful 2026.
I'm trying to decide how to answer this because the answer is no, I'm not.
You have to understand. We talked about this.
We talked about this earlier off the air. And John's like, "How can you not?" I'm like, "Cause I don't know. I mean, that's not what I'm making for lunch today."
Oh, good Lord.
I know, right?
Tradition in our family. Okay. Let me tell you, we're ready.
I am very happy for those who celebrate. I'll put it that way. So this is why I gave you that long, dramatic Northerner's pause. Year in review issues, right? The year in review issues out?
Yes. Well, for the 24th and the 31st, we have got the year in review. Broke it up by half of the year in the 24th.
Oh, nice.
I didn't mention this because I wasn't on the radio last week, but All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth issue was on the 24th. And that is where we have all the kids who are missing their two front teeth. Mm-hmm. We get their snaggle tooth smiles in the paper. And we sold out of it all over the place. We do have some extra copies at our office in Harbortown. So if you want to give us a call, if you want to pick up one of those keepsake editions, they are just so adorable and they just make the season so much brighter to see all those adorable children who are so excited about Christmas.
$25 a piece.
$1.25 a piece.
Ah, regular price. Okay, fair enough. you also have a story about the Model Train Club.
Yes, there's a Model Train Club in Harbortown in Gulf Breeze, and they do those N-scale trains, which are the smaller ones, and they are a train club who is looking for people who have trains, who do not have trains, people who can use their carpentry skills, electrical skills, scenery. They are really a great club. It's only $15 to join, and you can get access to all the stuff that they have, and they really have a lot going on. At least go check them out in Harbortown.
Oh, that's great.
And read the article of this in this issue, because it's really a fun way to just have a project, and a bigger project than you might be able to accomplish on your own. So it's a lot of fun.
This is one of those things where, generally speaking, model train enthusiasts are older, right? Okay, significantly older usually. And it's a great opportunity for young people to form relationships with people, if they don't have grandparents who live close, just to get that input from somebody who's, maybe not your parent. I remember being like in the stamp club with a bunch of old people at the library when I was a kid. And that kind of stuff is really valuable for people. So, no, that's a wonderful suggestion for folks to get into that.
One of the things they mentioned is that, it has a stigma that people think, oh, you've got to be an older white guy to do it. Because those are the guys who can afford it. However, they do have some teenagers in this group.
Nice.
And they're looking for more teenagers. They're looking for people because they said, look, we have trains. We have people who don't have trains. We have people who are learning about trains. We have women who are members. They're looking for people of all ethnicities, all ages, all genders. They just want to have people who want to have fun with trains. So
that's
it's
great.
Really open to everyone.
And it teaches you problem solving. It teaches you mechanical engineering, electrical engineering. I mean, there's so much. Like, it's really, attention to detail, all that stuff. Like, it's not just a, hey, let's do this thing, right? And it's a work with your hands instead of a work with the joystick, right? Or the keyboard or the controller. So all kinds of good stuff would come out of that. That's great. I love that you mentioned it. You've got a South Santa Rosa girl who made state for singing. Is that right?
Yes, so All-State Chorus, there was a girl from Holly Navarre Intermediate School, a fifth grader. Her name is Zoe Gatcho, and she was the only one from the South End who won the opportunity to be in the All-State Chorus. And, of course, everyone's very excited about it because That's a pretty big honor. Only 199 kids are selected throughout the entire state.
Wow.
And so fifth grader, she's a great girl. She's got a family who's very supportive, and they're very musical as well. And so it's a big honor for the school and for the chorus teacher and for this little girl as well. So we wish her the very best at All-State Chorus.
No, that's fantastic. Things to do in the area. Of course, today is the Polar Bear Plunge. What, noon? Is that right?
Noon to 3 at the Paradise on the beach.
Okay.
So it should be really fun, yeah. And we also
at least
have,
it's warm.
A lot of, I know. It's always a really fun event. Even if you don't want to go in the water, it is a really fun party to go to. So if you get the opportunity to go out there, it should be a wonderful day.
Just come out of the water and dry off in the warm and the sunshine, and it'll be fantastic. Like 40. It's 45 out. Good Lord. Anyway, sorry, you were going to say something else?
Well, if you got some tech for the holidays that you were like kind of stumped on, or you want to learn more about how to use it, the Gulf Breeze Library is going to have a Merry Techmas thing on Tuesday from 2 to 4 p.m. at the library. So you can come in there and get one-on-one help with your new iPhone, your tablet, you know, if you have an e-reader, any kind of thing that you got that you don't know how to use and you'd like to learn more about it. Go to the library, and you can get some help.
And that's on Tuesday?
Tuesday from 4 to 6, yeah.
Very good. Merry Techmas. That's kind of cute. I like that. Very good. Well, Lisa Newell, she is the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News, comes out every Thursday. And Lisa, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Great to talk to you. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for all the information.
That's right. And y'all have a great day and great New Year, and I hope to see you in the breeze.
Carrying my black-eyed peas and my collards and my cornbread.
Cornbread, yeah.
Do I have to
absolutely
say it like that?
Yeah.
Do I have to say
it
with the fake accent that for me would be a fake accent?
Yes.
No.
You are missing out. You're not gonna have a good year if you don't have it. I'm just saying, don't take the chance.
That's
don't
been the issue my it. Whole life. I've been missing out on
see? Now you know.
No, I know it. And knowing is half the battle. All right, Lisa, thanks for the update. John Pickens has traffic on the cornbread.
Oh, yes. Well, cornbread should be in the oven by now because I'll be getting off at 9. But let's see here. No traffic issues to let you know about. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98. Everything is looking good this morning, so no excuse for no black eyed peas and cornbread. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on
if
the 5.
If I just play black eyed peas audio, does that satisfy the...
No, sir.
Oh.
You have to actually partake
have to actually
in the...
Black eyed peas.
Yeah, cornbread.
Mm. Mm. Okay. So if you need a roof, that's how I'm going to deal with that problem. So if you need a roof, Brian Ward and Quality Roofing Solutions have been helping people get repairs or replacements for 20 years now. They just, hey, it's January 1st, 2006. They started in 2006. They've done 10,000 roofs locally. 10,000. That's amazing. And his idea was, let's start a company that just takes care of people, deals with them honestly, does the right stuff, charges them fair price, and invests in the local community. They do a lot to support local youth sports, our gateway, financial literacy education, all kinds of stuff like that. They do there's a lifetime warranty, lifetime guarantee on the roof, which is absolutely unheard of in the industry, but they do that. They'll talk to you about replacement or repair. A lot of times, you know, you might think it can be a repair, and it could be. I mean, if that's what you want, that's what they'll do. But a lot of times, if you just repair, you're going to need to replace the whole thing in a couple years anyway. It'll be very, even more expensive then. You know, I mean, roofs are not cheap. Nobody gets up in the morning thinking, woohoo, I get to buy a new roof today. But they're worth it, also for safety, and for sometimes you can save money on your home insurance. Sometimes the amount of money you can save on home insurance doesn't apply to everybody. But sometimes the amount of money can be really significant. I mean, like cut your insurance in half kind of numbers, depending on what you have now and depending on what the new roof is. So anyway, just call them and find out. They'll talk to you like you're a normal person. That's the thing. 4.9 rated on Google, which is unreal. I cannot believe anybody's rated 4.9. That's amazing. 777-0961 or check them out online at qualityroofingsolutions.com.
Dale's Marine Construction has been building high-quality waterfront structures in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties for 35 years, making Dale's Marine the leading marine contractor for seawall projects, riprap, docks, boathouses, and boat lifts. From planning and permitting through construction, the experienced foremen at Dale's Marine Construction are true craftsmen who do the job right. Get your dream waterfront installation started today and live the dock life with Dale's Marine Construction.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yeah! I stole the baby! I stole the baby!
You look like you've never seen Willow.
Long time ago, man. I'm like, you get into all these old clips.
I do. I like to bring back all the stuff we knew from, you know, when we were younger.
I mean, so, you know, the Beavis and Butthead one I got right off the beginning.
There you go. Well, it's also because, you know, the new year is a new baby. Is it?
Oh, I see the route.
It's
we're
a little
going.
Bit of a stretch, but I do think you've earned this.
Come on, Stink Eye John.
It's stink-eyed me a little bit.
Yeah, no. Well, don't worry. Talisha said it last night, too. Because so. I gave her the stink eye, evidently.
Has Stink Eye John made its way into your family?
Yes,
I
it has.
It. That's Michelle Salzman, every time she fills in for me, gives us some beautiful gift that we can then use.
What the Florida?
I love it. Oh, and actually, the other one, I didn't play this one yet.
Mark Safe from Michelle Salzman today.
No, you hadn't played that one.
The only car crash is the one that's happening inside this studio. I love her. Oh, man. All right. Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines.
They got to clear a 6-foot space.
Oh, that's actually, he's listening to me. That's cool. All right. He's listening to the Mike Wood interview.
Is when they're going to start acting.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. We'll come back to him in a little bit. Oh, you know the story about the 800 people that got fed at the event back in November, and then Pam Childers did not give the funding to reimburse them. They paid out of their own pocket, and the county wanted to use discretionary funds in order to pay for this, and she said no.
Well, had the county been using discretionary funds in years past?
For this event, I don't know the answer to that. But this, the way this is kind of being presented is like, you know, that witch Pam Childers, she's been telling them for 8 months that she's not going to fund a lot of things. And, you know, her reasoning for this, she's made this really clear. Her reasoning, number one, if it's religious, she's been clear about that. She's not going to fund religious things. But she says, look, personal benevolence to charities is at least a questionable, if not a not, a public purpose for which you're supposed to use, discretionary funds, which is taxpayer money. And, look, she and the commissioners disagree about this, or at least she and some of the commissioners disagree about this, but it's not like this is some sudden announcement.
Looking at this in a different way, taxpayers do not pay taxes for the county to make donations to private organizations of their choosing to enhance the mission of that organization.
Yeah, and that's been a practice in the discretionary funds for a long time, particularly if you're talking about helping individuals. You know, if you're giving to individuals, it's not an obvious public purpose. That's an individual purpose. Public purposes are things that benefit, you know, the public in general. And so, you know, and there's this kind of longstanding practice with the commissioners of, and this is kind of an uncharitable way to say it, but it's the way it always seems to me, of pretending to be the big man on campus, you know, throwing around the hundos that came from me. And look at all the good we're doing. And there's kind of this almost joking attitude of, oh, well, you're giving 500 to this club, I'll give 1,000 to this club, and will you join me in giving 500 to my club, and all this, like, bro, that's my money. It's your money. That's not their money. Now, if they want to be generous with their personal money, fantastic. Awesome. And I'm not saying that, you know, all the commissioners do this equally badly. Some of them have raised this same question, and I'm glad they are. But there's a real legal issue around whether public tax money should be going to, for example, provide a feeding event for individuals. That's That's not an unfair question to ask.
There needs to be a clarity, identified, and concrete county public purpose serving as the primary objective with a reasonable expectation that such primary objective will be substantially and effectively accomplished through the expenditure to nonprofit, non-government entities. I would suggest that each commissioner work to evaluate whether a lawful public purpose exists for funds requested.
Right. And I'm glad she's asking that question, because this has been a long-standing concern, and it's suddenly much more pressing with all the Florida DOGE and, you know, counties misspending money, allegedly misspending money. And this, again, this was back in April. She was having this conversation with the board, so this is not some big surprise.
If you'll just work with me, and let's look at the review, and I think the county attorney should review it, but I think we should be looking at how we're spending our money, why we're spending it, and a county public purpose. If we're just making a charitable donation to a purpose that isn't county government purpose, consider writing a personal check. But I'll
appreciate that, Madam Clerk.
And because Lumen May had asked, I wish you'd show us how and what's the distinction. And it is a longstanding practice that doesn't make it okay. That doesn't make it even legal if it's a longstanding practice. And I know some of this stuff she's kind of coming back after a while and saying, hey, you know, I'm looking at this again, and I'm not sure about this going forward, which is what she told him. Going forward, I'm not going to approve these funds.
All right. And Pam, I'm good with that. And listen, Pam brought it up. I mean, is it not a common good to feed people? Is it not a common good to buy hamburgers and hot dogs for children in the inner city that don't have food to eat? When we're feeding homeless people, when we're giving out money, we got to define that. I mean, maybe that's not a common good, but I can just tell you, I mean, for the common benefit, the common purpose of making sure that Brownsville Assembly is feeding people, that has to be a common good for the community.
If you believe that is the county government's responsibility, then we will have a form and you will write that.
Is it the county's job to feed people? And is that a common good, a public good, or an individual benefit? And those are all the right questions to ask, because Lumen's just like, it's obviously good. Well, not. I mean, can you buy somebody gas? Can you, I mean, right? Like, what are the limits of when doing somebody a personal benefit is or is not justified with taxpayer funds, which is the question she's asking, which is the backdrop to this whole issue of whether, you know, paying the for the feeding of these 800 people was or was not right. 826 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see, John, I took care of you. Did I do traffic yet? Not take care of you yet. So go ahead, sir.
You haven't
yet. And your black eyed peas.
That's right.
If you throw some sausage and onions and, you know, garlic and greens in there, I'll eat that.
We'll get to cooking, bro. I'll be over around 1. Yeah. You should be done by 1. Okay. All right. No accidents or delays to let you know about right now. Highway 29, 90, 98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, the annual Times Square celebration last night included the traditional ball drop at midnight. This year, it was followed by something extra, though. A second drop 4 minutes later that had been teased with a ball decorated red, white, and blue, marking 2026 as the 250th birthday of the U.S. And basically, the ball will be dropped again in July to commemorate the nation's actual birthday on the 4th there. President Trump's abandoning his efforts to deploy the National Guard troops in 3 major cities. The move comes after the Supreme Court ruled last week Trump could not send the National Guard members to Chicago over the objections there of the state officials. And average gas prices across the U.S. are dropping still, which is good for all of us. AAA is reporting the average cost of a gallon of gas is $2.83 a gallon across the country. Around here, we've had gas basically about $2.50, $2.60, and I think there were some reports of gas being less than that, but basically, that's what's happening.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm just did a quick look on Gas Buddy. The Walmart on 98 has it at 2.46, so okay. We can definitely find better than 2.80. What's that? 2.80 was the national average?
2.85.
2.85. Yeah. Yeah, we can definitely do better than that. Steve, thank you so much for the update. 8:28 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, okay. So I know a lot of people who are big Trump supporters. They think that I hate Trump, and that's just not true. I told you many times. I voted for him 3 times. He has a lot of things that are right, but I know he does some genuinely outrageous things, and I'll criticize him on that. But I also, like I did for Biden, like I did for Obama, like I did for anybody, Bush, same, when they do things that I agree with or that are right, I'll say that too. I love this idea of the monument, the triumphal arch on the other side of the bridge that ends at the Lincoln Memorial. It's just a giant open space roundabout. It's begging for a monument. Like it's missing. Like if you look with, you know, honest eyes and you look at that site, you're like, man, it'd be great to have something there. I think this would be an enhancement. I love the idea. And he said yesterday that, you know, he's going to start building that within the next 2 months. The idea is to get it in place before the nation's 250th anniversary. It's going to take like a year to build it. But, you know, it's going to start within 2 months to start before the anniversary happens. So, cool. I mean, you know, at some point, it's always kind of this fascinating thing. When somebody, a public official, wants to spend money on what you might call a decoration or an adornment, when you look at it as a possibility, typically people will say, well, gosh, how dare you, you know, spend money on that pelican with the neon coming off of the bridge or whatever. Or how dare you do the decorative arch to conceal the equipment that's going to be on the Bob Sykes Bridge for the new toll plaza. Or any, just pick an example. Okay, and I understand that. But in contrast with feeding an individual, which, I mean, is no doubt a good thing for a human to do, creating a public aesthetic benefit is a genuine public function. I mean, that's actually something that benefits the community that individuals typically are less likely to do or maybe cannot do. And to me, when we look at things like the Lincoln Memorial or the Jefferson or the, you know, the Washington Monument or the reflecting pool or any of that, you think, man, that's cool stuff. I love going to D.C. and seeing that. Okay, well, at some point, somebody has to actually spend the money to do that. So the triumphal arch that he wants to put on the other side of the river and that blank open green space that's right now a roundabout, in the future, what'll happen is you'll see that and you'll be like, oh, man, that makes this so cool. Well, yeah, because those choices get made by somebody.
Chris Foster. Well, it's 2026. An estimated 2 million people celebrated at the world's biggest party at Copacabana Beach in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Around 1 million were in New York's Times Square. And Zoran Mamdani became mayor of New York just after midnight, taking the oath of office underground at the former City Hall subway stop.
Thank you so much for everyone for being here. Happy New Year to New Yorkers, both inside this tunnel and above.
He's 34 years old, the city's first Muslim and first South Asian mayor. Dozens of people are presumed dead, around 100 injured, many seriously, in a fire at a bar in a Swiss Alps resort town during a New Year's celebration. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning and Happy New Year. It's 8:31 right now, 48 degrees and sunny. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. A dispute is brewing at Escambia County over who controls the taxpayer money. The Leah Gibson Foundation asked for $1,500 to cover cost of the Feast of Love, which is a free Thanksgiving meal that fed 800 people in need. County commissioners voted yes, but the county clerk refused to issue the payment. Commissioner Mikola says it's a gray area about what qualifies as public purpose.
So more than likely, I think we're going to have to ask the Attorney General for an opinion. I do think that we need to be good stewards of the taxpayer dollars, but at the same time, I also think, what kind of community is it if we can't help our most underprivileged citizens that live among us?
The two sides may now head to the Attorney General for the opinion, and they meet again on January the 9th. A new roundabout is coming to Pace, but not everybody who lives around that area is thrilled about it. Santa Rosa County will close the intersection of West Spencer Field and Giddens Lane starting in mid-January for about 8 months to build the roundabout. Resident Angela Gray says she's worried young drivers won't be able to handle it, and she questions the lengthy closure. County Administrator Brad Baker says a traffic light is not possible because the Navy would not allow them to use the nearby land.
Have it from each side of the intersection. As most people know, there's a outlying field for the Navy right beside there, and they had no interest in us acquiring any land from there, so we're able to do that with a roundabout.
Well, the project is starting in mid-January and will be paid for with the county sales tax. A post office employee is accused of trying to hit a child with his mail truck in Escambia County. William White Jr. was arrested for Saturday's incident involving a 10-year-old boy in Ensley. The Florida Highway Patrol says White thought the boy stole the package because he saw him carrying it while riding a scooter. Troopers, though, say White left the package at the wrong address on Kingfisher Way, and the boy was delivering it to the right address. White is facing charges that include aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He's being held without bond. Well, in our weather forecast, it's going to be a beautiful day today, sunny with a few clouds, and maybe a high of 67 today, but tonight, partly clear with a low of 47. Tomorrow should be even warmer with a high of 71, but unfortunately, showers are moving in tomorrow and into Saturday, which kind of messes up the weekend. Right now, let's check with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
Well, things are rolling smoothly again this morning. Nothing to, no accidents to report or delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Well, it's 47 degrees right now in Pensacola, 44 in Gulf Breeze, and 39 in Milton at 8:35. Next news is at 9, and of course, breaking news happens anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Reuters reports Warner Brothers Discovery will likely reject Paramount Skydance's roughly $108 billion hostile bid, despite a personal guarantee from billionaire Larry Ellison backing the media giant's offer. Sources say the board has yet to make a final decision, but is expected to meet next week. China's Commerce Ministry says it will impose additional tariffs of 55% on beef imports from some countries, including Brazil and the U.S., when shipment amounts exceed certain quotas. The measures will take effect on January 1st, 2026, and will last for 3 years. Idaho-based food company Hayburn is recalling nearly 3,000 pounds of raw ground beef that may have been contaminated with E. coli bacteria. The product was shipped to California, Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Pennsylvania, and Washington. The stock market is closed in honor of the holiday and will reopen tomorrow. That's Your Money Now.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or bird seed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right. Since it is New Year's Day, but we're not going to do resolutions. We talked about resolutions in the 7 o'clock hour, and basically gave you a bunch of advice on how to hit them, how not to hit them, you know, why they go wrong, all that kind of stuff. I have a totally different question that's kind of on my mind, which is: one cookie, you're allowed to keep one cookie in the eating universe. What cookie are you keeping? 437-1620. Hey, everybody makes cookies at holidays. If somebody in your house made cookies for Christmas, you're probably getting toward the end of the stock a little bit, you know? So if you're the one, if you're like me, you want to be to make sure that you get the last one before anybody else gets the last one, you know, if it's one you like. And if it's one you don't like, you're just waiting for everybody else to eat it. So 437-1620, what's the best cookie? What's the one you want to keep? If only you go on a desert island, you're only allowed to keep one cookie forever. What cookie do you keep? 437-1620. John?
Oh, chocolate chip, baby.
Basic standard old chocolate chip.
Yes.
Hard or soft?
Soft, of course.
Thank you. Please, please, thank you. Yes. I had a boss one time who was, I'm going to anger some people, but I'll say it. He was the crisp chocolate chip cookie.
Oh.
Like, if it's burned, it's only a little overdone. Like, he wants it crunchy. And my wife, I'll play this one off my wife. She says, you can always tell somebody whose mom wasn't a good cook when.
Oh.
That's not fair.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Wow.
But anyway, we'll come back to this in a second. 437-1620.
A homemade, mm-hmm. not from like a mix or homemade, Toll House chocolate chip cookie with pecans.
Oh, with pecans.
Yes.
So, like, classic throwback.
Yes.
The classic.
And by the way, I don't like super soft. Like, it feels uncooked to me.
You don't want it gooey.
Right.
You want it
I want it, like,
doughy.
To have a little bite to it.
Okay. Not a little bit of resistance.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I don't want crisp. I know what you mean. I don't want
that.
Yeah,
no, crisp
is
terrible.
But I don't like... When you bite into it and it's just soft.
So we just last night we watched, you know, they have these documentaries on food history things and mm-hmm. how things came to be. And we actually just watched one on the development of the chocolate chip cookie. And I was fascinated by it. I did not know the history. Do you know how chocolate chip cookies came to be? This is actually an amazing story.
Huh.
They've only been around since the 1930s. So until the 1930s, people had not experienced chocolate chip cookies. Which is like, I feel so sad for them.
I do. Okay?
And the reason they happened is this woman, Ruth Graves Wakefield, had a restaurant that basically they put all their savings into this restaurant. They called it the Toll House.
Oh, mm-hmm. okay. Toll House cookies.
Yeah. And back then, you basically had kind of crackers, which are crisp cookies, you mm-hmm. know, is what you had.
Yeah.
And she came up with, and they were like giveaways. Like you go to the restaurant and you get bread.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like that. Like you get saltines, like it's a throwaway. Or with, you know, you order ice cream and they might give you, at the time, a cookie to come with it. And she was trying to come up with because they were so popular, the ones that she made was with like pecans. And she was trying to come up with a way to make it better. And her goal was to make it have chocolate. And so she sent her husband to the store, bring me back some chocolate, which was typically baking chocolate, you know,
the
bitter.
Yeah.
Okay. She was going to melt that, mix it in with the dough and make chocolate cookies.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back and he says, well, they were out. So what they did have was these sweet chocolate bars from Nestle, the Swiss company. And she's like, what am I going to do with that? And so she starts, well, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'll break them up and mix them into this dough and make cookies. And now we have chocolate chip cookies. So
I love that story.
I know. Isn't that amazing? Like, if they hadn't been out of it, maybe we wouldn't have had them.
Right.
And then there's this whole long process of, you know, she was making them with the pecans, and then people asked her for the recipe, and the recipe got circulated, and the guys at Nestle heard about it, basically, mm-hmm. and came to her and offered her, you know, we'll put your recipe on our package in order to sell more chips.
So they made the chips for her cookie?
That's exactly right. And they didn't in the beginning. They made bars that were scored to be broken into smaller bits, but they didn't break properly, so mm-hmm. they had to come up with the whole
chip. Well, sometimes
now
you see those where they use the pieces of chocolate versus
right. That's a little more exotic, like gourmet kind of feel to it. Anyway, so we would if it hadn't been for Ruth Graves Wakefield, and they actually got robbed because of the Depression. They got robbed of like $10,000, so they lost all their savings one night after they'd been making a bunch of money at this restaurant, and they had to come up with a new thing to make more money is why she came up with this. And it's a fascinating story. But we have chocolate chip cookies because of this one woman and a weird confluence of events. So I sometimes think, what would life be if we hadn't had the thing happen, you know, where we discovered buffalo wings, or where we discovered IPA, or, you know, all the, like, John, you're just...
Yeah, well, no, I was going to say, if you have time, go to YouTube and type in weird food history.
Oh, there's so much.
Yeah.
There is so much that I sit there and just watch it going, wow.
Okay, that'll be something fun to do today.
And just as a follow-up, just to, like, finish the story, the makers of Nabisco, the national biscuit company, who mm-hmm. made Oreos, was the number one cookie in America.
Right.
Until chocolate chip cookies came around, displaced them as the number one cookie, and the folks at Nabisco said, what the what?
Yeah.
Huh.
And so they came up with
Chips Ahoy.
Chips Ahoy as the alternative, as the store-bought pre-made version instead of the make-it-at-home version, or what was eventually into the 50s, I think, was when they started to make the packages of the dough.
I wonder where the Ahoy came from.
Oh, they just came with a bunch of different names, and that was the one that he liked.
Hmm.
Like Chips Ahoy, Chips Ahoy?
Mm-hmm. You know, I get it, but I just wondered.
They came up with a bunch, and that was the one they liked. And so they, and then later they developed the soft one, the Chips Ahoy soft mm-hmm. version. Because, yeah, the Chips Ahoy hard one is like, I mean, I don't know why people eat that. I don't understand. But, you know, okay. 437-1620. The question is, I don't know, we got lost on the question.
Cookie.
I got to tell them the story about the chocolate chip cookie. Oh, what's the cookie you would keep? For me, it's M&M chocolate chip cookies. We make our chocolate chip cookies with M&Ms. And I'm just telling you, if you've never had.
They're good,
Do have.
Yeah.
Real close, though, would be the white chocolate chip macadamia nut.
See, my second would be the Hello Dolly cookies.
Oh, okay. All right.
Coconut and chocolate and pecans and
I have a weird, like, you know how whatever your mom made or whatever you had as a kid, and this is, I know that objectively this doesn't measure up, but the Pepperidge Farm Chessmen cookies.
I remember those, yeah.
And they're, I mean, they're very good, but they're not. I mean, they're crunchy.
It's a different category.
And yes, I know, Girl Scout cookies, the Samoans. That's the caramel and the coconut and
the
chocolate and the. That's fine.
Chocolate
My mom
mint.
Liked those. That's fine. That's fine. 437-1620. Text is, if you could only keep one kind of cookie for the rest of your life, what kind of cookie would you keep? Somebody says, anyone who doesn't pick chewy chocolate chip needs to reevaluate their life choices. All right, I mean, you can't disagree with that.
Oh, wow, that was that was deep.
I don't have any argument with that.
No, so. I don't. But
are you
saying.
Okay?
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, why?
Oh, nothing.
Why would you question me? All my
John Martin knows.
New Year's resolution is going to be nicer. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No,
I like
not.
It.
I did not. I absolutely did not make that resolution.
Shush, just go with it.
No. Absolutely.
Just go with it.
Well, never.
She's a Georgia
slower,
fan.
Talk slower, be nicer. No, come on.
Golly, y'all.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right.
Did I just make you chortle snort?
He chortle snorted.
I don't know what kind of fluids are involved in that sound.
You'll find out later. All right. So no accidents report or delays. We're looking good. Nothing there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This is what happens when you don't spank.
.46 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Somebody texts me and says, chewy chocolate chip with a sprinkle of sea salt on top. Ooh, I like that.
Ooh.
A little crunch.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend, I still to this day don't have the recipe, but I had a friend when we lived in Phoenix who made chocolate chip cookies where he used a kind of sugar that it was still crunchy, crystalline inside the cookie when you ate
Ooh.
It, and it was
that sounds so good.
Ridiculous. So good. Football has been fun. Oh my gosh, these games. I really hope the game. It always happens though. There's always one or two games where you're like, did I watch that? That was so boring. But I'm really eager for these games today. The games have been fantastic. The Michigan-Texas game was great. You know, I sort of pulled for Michigan. I grew up with them, but that, I mean, you know, Arch Manning running 60-yard touchdowns,
that
pretty
was
impressive. Yeah,
he
pretty
so good
within the space of about four plays, and they threw 14 points on him. And like, that's it. That's the game.
Yeah.
The TCU USC game the other day, the Alamo Bowl, and overtime with that ridiculous almost out of bounds run.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was fantastic. And not only because Ohio State lost, but actually the Ohio State Miami game was fantastic.
It was a good game.
Third and one, Carson Beck.
Look at that front four, Miami. They've got seven offensive linemen out there.
Second quarter.
Third down and a yard.
13 to go.
And Beck hits Fletcher out of the backfield. Touchdown, Miami.
Now, that was a pretty easy touchdown to go up to be 7-0.
That was beautiful. You have that, to. Yeah.
No, that, I mean, that was just the run-up. I mean, I the little pass, but it was fine. No big deal. But then after the touchdown, they kick off, and Julian Sain, the quarterback for Ohio State, who's, I mean, fantastic, okay, he throws a bomb.
Play action, Sain setting up, and fires it deep, going for
And it looks like they're going to come back. It looks like they're going to get ready and tie it up. It's going to be 7-0. You're ready for a brawl. And then they get sacked. Okay, so it's 2nd and 16 on about the, I don't know, the 30, 35, something like that, going in towards Miami's end.
After the loss of 6, another pass play.
That was big.
That was
huge.
Huge.
Keontae Scott. The end. That was. I mean, it was devastating.
Yeah.
For Ohio, because they had just gotten their hope back up because the first quarter had been so slow for them, and they just put the 60-yard bomb in there, and then they got pick sixed, and which of course I loved. That was great to watch. I'm from Illinois, so we hate Ohio State badly. After that, I mean, that was pretty much it. They get down towards the end, and Miami just kept rushing the ball, kept running off the clock. They got down to what was right around a minute, and the weird play where Ohio State, they were down 3 and they let them score the touchdown. So they could have. Yes. You didn't catch this?
No.
It was at the very end.
The touchdown rush at the end looked so.
So
I'm
they could have more time.
And I didn't see that.
I'm sorry.
That's
I did.
Weird
yes.
play.
And the
like,
guy
just happened?
Like, oh, no, I'm not going to tackle you. Just walk past me.
Right. So they let them go up 10.
Because, so they would have more time because they could run out the clock.
With a minute to go, you can't control anything if the other team just plays.
And you're out of timeout.
And you didn't have to. I think they might have had.
They had one.
Yeah. But so they let them score. And it was the weirdest look. I've never seen it before. They just let him run through. So he had about a minute left.
Was
and
it
then,
that game that they kicked the 3 on the second down?
I don't know. I don't think so. Okay, but it was just such a weird play. And then, of course, they weren't able to get a touchdown and then an onside kick and or anything like that. So it kind of fizzled right at the end. But I just love it because Ohio State lost. So 8:50. And, go. I did have a trivia question. I asked earlier and nobody knew. John, you're from there. And I'm actually kind of interested in this. How did Miami come to be known as the U? Because everybody's a U. Illinois University, University of Illinois, Indiana, Oregon, Ohio State.
So we could all put up
Florida State,
U's
Auburn
everywhere.
University.
Well, because you can put up a U, you can't really put up a hurricane.
Well, but you could do an M. Oh, my God. You have to see... the most incompetent finger gestures I have ever seen. John, if you ever got appointed like chief designer of gang signs, they'd fire you immediately.
Oh no, I come up with the best ones.
I don't know what you did, but it was like John studying his fingers as if he'd just discovered they existed.
They do.
And turning them into, what did you make? And I don't know if it was
I was trying to make an M.
But it was not. It was so...
Went the wrong way.
Love
Sorry.
You, bro. No.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So we'll just move on from all of that. That's just fascinating. I can't believe I watched that.
Well, you watched it.
I did.
Just doing it on my own, hiding behind the monitor.
I don't know what to say.
You're the one who wants to sit over there.
Mayor Reeves gave us an update this week on recycling, which is, of course, ongoing, the improvements.
A recycling update. Added another 100 recycling customers. Some of our digital campaigns going out, so we're up to 3,892. We continue to track at the 93% clean rate.
93% clean is impressive. I mean, that's really quite. That's amazing. Remember, because the contamination rates were in like the 30% clean, 35%. I mean, 20%. Remember ECUA and other places have had to like cut off the city and others as well for having terrible practices. It's kind of like, you can't do this, right? So we're going to have to end recycling. Well, we're recycling. 93% is great. All because it's opt-in and pay for. It means it's only the people who are, going to take it seriously are going to actually do that.
I remember we talked about contamination warnings that our trucks would have the capability to give those. We'll start with those likely sometime in mid-June. There hasn't been any that have gone out.
Remember, the smart trucks can tell what you put in there, and if it's a contamination rate from a particular person that you're putting stuff in there that does not recycle, they're actually going to start, not enforcing is a little bit strong, but they're going to start, tapping you on the shoulder basically and say, hey, that's not good what you're doing, and those notices are going to start going out this month.
There hasn't been any that have gone out as we made sure that the technology was working correctly and all of that. So mid to late January, we'll get you an exact date when we get a little bit closer, when folks can start to get the friendly tap on the shoulder that perhaps their recycling was contaminated.
Yeah, and do better. Or just go to a garbage can. You know, stop messing up the recycling. Also an update on the Joe Paddies. Remember, there's a lawsuit, but it's so in order to finish the drainage project on Main Street, they need to get water to flow all the way to, you know, the bay. And they have a legal right to basically put the line through the front of Joe Paddy's underneath the parking lot. But, of course, nobody wants to do that because it's going to interfere dramatically with Joe Paddy's. But the city does have that legal right. So they've been trying for a long time. And the Paddy family is a lot of different people, and they're not always in agreement about everything. And so the city has been working with Joe Paddy's to try to find a different solution or a solution that everybody's happy with, and so far just hasn't worked out. So basically they filed a lawsuit getting a judge to declare, or, you know, the ask is for the judge to declare, you absolutely have this right, go ahead. Even though they don't want to have to do it that way, that's the only legally, like, it's within their legal rights to do it that way, even though they don't want to have to do it that way. They'd like to find a better way, but they haven't yet found one. So
I don't believe that either party believes that going in front of the building is the best option. But right now, it's our legal, we believe it's our legal right to do. And unfortunately, we just haven't been able over years of time to work out the other.
Yeah, I mean, it is one that will work. It is legal, even though it's going to be inconvenient for Joe Paddy's and for everybody who, you know, goes to them. But, you know, if you can't find a better solution, you got to find a solution. This is going to be your A solution, basically. 8:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, we did learn from Mike Wood earlier today. Remember we were talking, you've probably seen the story about the armored truck that had lost a bunch of money in the wind at the Wells Fargo. I think it was on Fairfield, if I'm not mistaken, is where this took place. It was in the county. But money blowing around, and people went out and helped collect it and return it properly to the bank because it's not their money. And, you know, John Pickens asked the question, well, can I not keep any? Because John's trying to find a retirement plan somehow.
Yeah. No, and his radio doesn't provide one.
And the answer is no, it's illegal to keep it. And he said, but what if I'm just walking along somewhere and I see a 20? That's not my money either. Can I keep it? Well, the answer is, if you are reasonably aware that it belongs to somebody, as in it's at the bank and it's blowing out of the armored car, yeah, that's theft. Just like if somebody walks out of a store with a bunch of merchandise and they fall and trip, and then there's, you know, PlayStation strewn about the sidewalk, you can't just pick one up and take it because you know it belongs to them. Well, same thing. So Mike says basically the short of it is, if you know that it belongs to somebody, you cannot take it. That's, you know, theft. If you're not sure who it belongs to, but you know it doesn't belong to you, particularly for like large amounts of money, maybe you find $1,000 in a paper bag or $50,000 in a paper bag or whatever, take it to the police station. And then if nobody claims it, it goes back to you. They had that happen with somebody with a pretty significant amount of money. So that's the law, if you want to understand the law. But a good thing. It's a good thing to see all these people, you know, cooperating and helping and doing what's right. And I think a lot of that was kind of positive peer pressure. You know, if four people are doing the right thing, the fifth person tends to want to do the right thing along with them because you don't want to be the only one that's stuffing it in your bra, you know. You know, or wherever, man. Wherever. Okay.
Wow. John. Okay. This is going to, 2026 is going to be very interesting.
Very. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents, no delays to let you know about. We are all doing good this morning. Great start to 2026. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Well, it's probably better than stuffing it in somebody else's bra. I mean, right?
Okay.
Well, this is getting deep. Wow.
Okay.
Andrew, we need to talk later.
The other story, and I saw this come across an email from FHP. Did you see the story with this postal worker? This is the craziest story. And I'm going to kind of tell it from the postal worker's point of view first, because sometimes it's helpful to, can you get inside somebody's brain and see even what they were thinking? So he drops a package off, allegedly, okay, the allegation is, he drops a package off, and then he's continuing on his route, and a few minutes later, he sees a kid on an electric scooter with that package. So what does he assume?
Oh,
porch
that was
thief.
Stolen. Yeah.
Yeah, he assumes that the kid, and so he's going to solve this problem. He's going to teach his kid a lesson. Unfortunately, he decides to teach the kid a lesson by running him over. Lucky for the kid manages to see it coming and I guess jumps off the scooter into a yard.
Oh, my gosh.
So he runs over the scooter. Okay, yeah, okay, so porch piracy is not a capital offense. You cannot kill somebody for stealing. It's a misdemeanor. You cannot kill somebody for a misdemeanor. You got to have a reasonable, articulable fear of life or limb being lost in order to use deadly force. And this is, you know, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. I mean, if the vehicle is a deadly weapon. So this is really, really bad. I get in his brain the frustration over porch piracy and how you want to do something. But you cannot run a kid on a scooter over because you think they stole a package. Period. Ever. You cannot do that. The story gets much worse, though, because as bad as that is, it was delivered by him, again, allegedly, to that kid's house.
Oh, no.
By mistake. The kid knew the address where it should have gone.
Oh,
and
no.
He was getting on his scooter to take the package back to the rightful recipients. When he gets almost killed by...
For doing the right thing.
Go postal road rage delivery man. Oh. Yeah. So it's a really, really horrible story. And again, the good news is, the kid's okay. I'm sure pretty traumatized. The postal workers, I mean, unless something really unusual happens, is going to be going to jail for an awful long time. And it's a... horrible thing. And when I try to explain, he probably in his mind thinks I'm Batman solving this problem. Well, no, turns out you're the villain because you don't know all the facts, you jump to a conclusion, and no matter what the source of the package was, you engaged in potentially deadly assault with your car, never justified, even if he had been doing what you thought he was doing. So just glad that the kid's okay. That's the big takeaway.
You're listening to